dark. The hollow voice cracked in alarm. Seagulls never fly in the dark. Jonathan was not alert to listen. It's pretty, he thought, the moon and the lights twinkling on the water, throwing out little beacon trails through the night, and all so peaceful and still. Get down! Seagulls never fly in the dark. If you were meant to fly in the dark, you'd have the eyes of an owl. You'd have charts for brains. You'd have a falcon's short wings. There in the night, 100 feet in the air, Jonathan Livingston Seagull blinked. His pain, his resolutions, vanished. Short wings. A falcon's short wings. That's the answer. What a fool I've been. All I need is a tiny little wing. All I need is to fold most of my wings and fly on just the tips alone. Short wings. He climbed 2,000 feet above the Black Sea, and without a moment for thought of failure and death, he brought his forewings tightly into his body, left only the narrow swept daggers of his wing tips extended into the wind, and fell into a vertical dive. The wind was a monster roar at his head, 70 miles per hour, 90, 120, and faster still. The wing strain, now at 140 miles per hour, wasn't nearly as hard as it had been before at 70, and with the faintest twist of his wing tips, he eased out of the dive and shot above the waves, a gray cannonball under the moon. He closed his eyes to slits against the wind and rejoiced. 140 miles per hour, and under control. If I dive from 5,000 feet instead of 2,000, I wonder how fast... His vows of a moment before were forgotten, swept away in that great swift wind. Yet he felt guiltless, breaking the promises he had made himself. Such promises are only for the gulls that accept the ordinary. One who has touched excellence in his learning has no need of that kind of promise. By sunup, Jonathan Gull was practicing again. From 5,000 feet, the fishing boats were specks in the flat blue water. Breakfast flock was a faint cloud of dust motes, circling. He was alive, trembling ever so slightly with delight, proud that his fear was under control. Then, without ceremony, he hugged in his forewings, extended his short, angled wing tips, and plunged directly toward the sea. By the time he passed 4,000 feet, he had reached terminal velocity. The wind was a solid, beating wall of sound against which he could move no faster. He was flying now straight down at 214 miles per hour. He swallowed, knowing that if his wings unfolded at that speed, he'd be blown into a million tiny shreds of seagull. But the speed was power, and the speed was joy, and the speed was pure beauty. He began his pull-out at 1,000 feet, wingtips thudding and blurring in that gigantic wind, the boat and the crowd of gulls tilting and growing meatier fast, directly in his path. He couldn't stop. He didn't know yet even how to turn at that speed. Collision would be instant death. And so he shut his eyes. It happened that morning, then, just after sunrise, that Jonathan Livingston Seagull fired directly through the center of Breakfast Flock, ticking off 212 miles per hour, eyes closed, in a great roaring shriek of wind and feathers. The Gull of Fortune smiled upon him this once, and no one was killed. By the time he had pulled his beak straight up into the sky, he was still scorching along at 160 miles per hour. When he had slowed to 20 and stretched his wings again at last, the boat was a crumb on the sea, 4,000 feet below. His thought was triumph, terminal velocity, a seagull at 214 miles per hour. It was a breakthrough, the greatest single moment in the history of the flock. And in that moment, a new age opened for Jonathan Gull. Flying out to his lonely practice area, folding his wings for a dive from 8,000 feet, he set himself at once to discover how to turn. A single wingtip feather, he found, moved a fraction of an inch, gives a smooth sweeping curve at tremendous speed. Before he learned this, however, he found that moving more than one feather at that speed will spin you like a rifle ball, and Jonathan had flown the first aerobatics of any seagull on Earth. He spared no time that day for talk with other gulls, but flew on past sunset, He discovered the loop, the slow roll, the point roll, the inverted spin, the gull bunt, the pinwheel. When Jonathan Seagull joined the flock on the beach, it was full night. He was dizzy and terribly tired. Yet, in delight, he flew a loop to landing with a snap roll just before touchdown. When they hear of it, he thought, of the breakthrough, they'll be wild with joy. How much more there is now to living. Instead of our drab slogging back and forth to the fishing boats, there's a reason to life. We can lift ourselves out of ignorance. We can find ourselves as creatures of excellence and intelligence and skill. We can be free. We can learn to fly. The years ahead hummed and glowed with promise. The gulls were flocked into the council gathering when he landed, and apparently had been so flocked for some time. They were, in fact, waiting. "Jonathan Livingston Seagull, stand to center." The elder's words sounded in a voice of highest ceremony. Stand to center meant only great shame or great honor. Stand to center for honor was the way the gull's foremost leaders were marked. Of course, he thought, the breakfast flock this morning. They saw the breakthrough. But I want no honors. I have no wish to be leader. I want only to share what I found, to show those horizons out ahead for us all. He stepped forward. "Jonathan Livingston Seagull," said the elder, "stand to center for shame in the sight of your fellow gulls." It felt like being hit with a board. His knees went weak, his feathers sagged, there was roaring in his ears. Centered for shame? Impossible. The breakthrough. They can't understand. They're wrong. They're wrong. "For his reckless irresponsibility," the solemn voice intoned, "violating the dignity and tradition of the gull family." To be centered for shame meant that he would be cast out of gull society, banished to a solitary life on the far cliffs. "One day, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, you shall learn that irresponsibility does not pay. Life is the unknown and the unknowable, except that we are put into this world to eat, to stay alive as long as we possibly can." A seagull never speaks back to the council flock, but it was Jonathan's voice raised. "Irresponsibility? My brothers," he cried, "who is more responsible than a gull who finds and follows a meaning, a higher purpose for life? For 1,000 years we have scrabbled after fish heads, but now we have a reason to live, to learn, to discover, to be free. Give me one chance. Let me show you what I've found." The flock might as well have been stone. "The brotherhood is broken," the gulls intoned together, and with one accord they solemnly closed their ears and turned their backs upon him.